Is this embarrassing? Yes. Is it awkward? Yes.
No, bitch, it wasn't awkward until you made it awkward by saying awkward.
Ladies and gentlemen,
awkwardly
social podcast. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to the Awkwardly Social Podcast. My name is Jose Chavez. Goodness gracious, you guys are fun, exciting. Thank you so much for downloading this specific episode. Hopefully other episodes as well. If you haven't, if this is your first time checking something out, do me a favor. Go through iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play, whatever Android app you use for checking out podcasts. Pull this one up. Subscribe to it. Check out past episodes. And if you're so inclined, you can go ahead and leave me a 5-star review, which would be amazing because that's how people get sponsors. And if you want me to make some money while doing this, then I can continue doing it and everything and everyone would be just so happy. So there's that. That's me trying to sound professional at the very tippity top of this. But in reality, I'm just trying to get this show started. I've had a very busy weekend, exhausting, productive, but exhausting. I find that the weekends for me are busier than the weekdays, which I feel like I should probably switch that up a little bit, but it works how it works, especially in comedy. That's when you're busiest anyhow, so I've made my peace with it. I did a show Saturday, drove out an hour and a half, a fun show, but this crackhead tried to fight me. This was in Bakersfield, California. And every time I go to Bakersfield, I always say this, I love going there because there's always a situation, a story, something goes down that is just weird. The first time I ever did a show out there, I'm sure I've told this before, two couples got into fights, not with one another, but within themselves. A husband and a wife got into a fist fight, and then another husband and a wife got into a fist fight while arguing about the original fight. And then the bartender heckled the show. The security guard was kind of a dick to the comics, essentially upset at the fact that we were causing these fights for no reason. And by the way, both those couples that got into a fight, it happened during my jokes, which if you listen to or have seen any of my stand-up, I'm not a very polarizing comedian. So there was nothing I said that triggered it. It was a conversation that was going on between them that started it. But they got into a fight. Another time I got chased out of town by some Trump supporters. They were in their vehicle, chasing my vehicle, waving a flag, a Trump flag, and they chased me onto the freeway. I was trying to get out of town anyhow, so it's not like they really did their job so much as it was me in the middle of leaving anyway. If somebody's already driving away to head back and away back to their home, and you start freaking out and waving your flag at them, they're not leaving because you did that. They're just leaving in spite of that. So they feel like they had a victory over me. But in reality, I was like, yeah, whatever, racists. I'm just getting out of here and hopefully not dying. So I'm just appreciating the fact that they didn't chase me on the freeway because I don't know what I would have done. I mean, I guess I could have thrown stuff at them from the back of my truck, but I don't know. That would have been a very boring but short action sequence. I posted this on Facebook, you guys. The upcoming show for the next Awkwardly Social is April 11th. That is a Thursday. That's going to be at the Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena. Stage 2. Get your tickets now. $15. AwkwardlySocialComedy.com. You can also get it at IceHouseComedy.com. Just look it up on the calendar that they have there. You might see other more interesting comedians prior to seeing my show, but do me a favor. Fight that urge to watch a better comic and instead just go and watch my show. That's right. It's Awkwardly Social Comedy with a bunch of great comedians that have been on television, Comedy Central, Showtime, and other things, probably, I assume, hopefully. They're funny enough to have already been on there. I know that there's two, Dustin Ibarra and Gene Pompa, who've worked with Gabriel Iglesias on Comedy Central, so those two solid comics will be part of the show as well, but everyone on the lineup, including me, maybe, will be good. So there's that plug. But what I was going to say before I started being all professional and putting shit out there, I posted something on a couple of the social media platforms saying, what do you guys want me to talk about? Because I had an idea of what I wanted to say. And, you know, but I figured aside from my notes, what else could I talk about? And I put it out there. So I got some responses through Snapchat, some through Instagram, and some through Facebook. Some are really nonsensical. Some are very super serious. All I know is that you guys don't... I'm going to talk about all these things, however brief, but I will mention each and every single one of these, try to answer as much as I can between them, which is always so surprising. By the way, shout out to my sister who took the time to ask me the weird questions. I'll answer hers real quick. Crop dusting in public. That is a topic I will talk about. I will make it super quick. I've done it. Who hasn't done it? How often are you in a public space where everything is loud and you hope that everything is just loud enough for you to just rip a little ass and be on your way? I was at a protest against the wall, and there was a bunch of speakers. It was a great event. It was very loud there. Of course, I did what I had to do there. That's not the walk away moment or memory from that experience, but it did happen there. The reason I bring up this specific one is that when I was leaving, I was going up an inclined hill, and it was a weird sort of like path they had to take to get to the subway, and I missed a step. I kind of like fell over a little bit and something, it just came out of me. I wasn't trying to do it. I didn't even know it was going to, it was snuck up on me. It was like a ninja. It was just like, poof, you know, it was there. And I was like, oh shit. Here's the thing. The woman who was behind me and almost immediately behind me, who was shorter, and with that incline, pretty much put her face approximately where my ass was. And I just hear, oh my God, gross. And that's when I discovered that she was there. I did not know before that. So I did it, and I apologize. And I didn't apologize at the time because it's not even necessarily that I was embarrassed. It's just that I was so shell-shocked as like, I don't know what to say to this person. And I turned around, and I didn't know which other people it was because suddenly there was different people. We were in a large group. But nothing – I'm sure I ruined that person's day. They were like, I'm going to go out and support my friends, my community, and do this thing. And then suddenly there I am assaulting their face with my ass. So yes, I do apologize for doing that much, and hopefully I don't do it that way again. That's crop dusting in public. Moving on to the next one. Being okay with letting people around you make mistakes. I struggle with this. This comes from Mike Peters, which you guys should follow in his footsteps, because that dude, he left a review, and it was very nice and insightful, so I appreciate that. So I know that Mike is a very intelligent person, not just because he listens to this podcast, but because he is usually parents, people who take the time to look out for other people. It comes from somewhere, you know, you have forward thoughts to situations and things you have to process, however you want to phrase it. Mike, I do this as well. I do this quite often. It's both hurt and helped relationships in my life. Some that it's helped is, you know, usually with siblings, close friends, people who are looking for the advice, who just need somebody to talk to. And, you know, I giving it an Apple warning usually at least helps them consider a different point of view, you know, something that they should factor in when making their decisions. Other times it's hurt me is a friend of mine whom I love very much. She's a great person. She was into some guy that I was not a fan of, whom I had had enough interactions with to know that he wasn't the kind of guy that you would want to introduce to a sister or somebody that you love. And I put in my two cents. She did not take that well, and she pretty much let me know, like, you can't parent me. You can't be a big brother to me. We're not like that. Allow me to make my mistakes. I want to try to make these mistakes. If things work out for me, fine. But if I end up falling flat on my face, I have to accept that I made that decision. You can't make that decision for me. And of course, I wasn't trying to make the decision, but I was expressing my concern because I was concerned and I genuinely cared and I wanted to make sure that she was happy and safe and all of that stuff. So that one blew up in my face because I stuck my nose in where it didn't need to. And that's how I, you know, one of the lessons that I learned about it is, as much as you want to be there and stop people from failing or whatever, you kind of have to, because that's how we learned. That's how they'll learn. Other times it's, you know, if it's a parenting thing, I can't give much advice on that. I do sometimes say something because I'm not a parent. So I will usually avoid trying to do that kind of stuff, but I can only give advice as a person who has experienced receiving the wrong influence or whatever at some point or another. My godson, his parents are great. They take really good care of him. But when they were new parents, you know, they were a little worried. They're a little protective. And I gave the advice of, you know, I mean, the kid was responding to their fear of, you know, going down a slide at a park because they looked concerned. So he was concerned. And suddenly he didn't want to do it. And I expressed, you know, he's responding to your emotions, your how you're behaving in this moment. And if he sees you being scared, then he's going to have a scared response and he's not going to want to try things. But then when they shook that off and at least played along with it, suddenly he was on board and running around and having the time of his life. And I know that you're like, I made you, you're fragile. I want to take care of you. You also have to understand that they have a strength within themselves that comes from you. And you have to remember how strong you were in that moment. I mean, I've criticized people who leave their kids like latchkey kids. But then I remember I was a latchkey kid. Me and my sisters did just fine. We used to walk home as a group together between the ages of like, 4 and 8, which wasn't great, but we at least took care of each other. And thankfully, nothing ever happened. So there is always a risk, obviously, when you do anything, when the moment that you introduce a little bit of chaos into a situation or the potential for it. So obviously that amplifies the opportunity for failure or for something worse. But you have to allow that to happen. You have to embrace it, let it be, you know, kind of move on from it. It's scary and it's hard, but it'll you have to allow that. I mean, you really can't control it anyhow. I mean, I know it's hard because I do it as well. Sometimes I provide my 2 cents when I don't need to. I get that from my mom who talked about this in the last episode. She, you know, provides feedback when you don't necessarily want it, and it makes it hard. It strains a relationship because as much as you love somebody, it's hard to hear from certain people. If they don't want to hear it or, you know, ask them, is it okay if I share my advice, my opinions? If they don't want to hear from you, if they can't hear from you, then move on. You know, just say, okay, well, don't be there to say, I told you so. Just be there to say, I'm sorry that it worked out the way that it did. I'm here for you. You know, at least that much. Let's see. Here's another great one from my sister. Who wins at a fight, a bear or a gorilla, and why? That's so dumb. Easy. A gorilla, because a bear is obviously very strong. They can move pretty quickly. I don't think they can move quite as fast as a gorilla. Plus, gorillas have thumbs, so they can really lock around something and pull the weight on that. I think gorillas have more upper body strength than bears do, and they can probably maneuver around a lot better. Plus, they're more agile, I believe. So bear, obviously, depending on the conditions, could win. But I'm going to put my money on a bear. This is a weird-ass episode, but it is called Awkwardly Social. So what's the deal with airline food? Thanks, Haroon. I really appreciate that question. I haven't flown often, but I will say this much. Every time I flew, I always just relied on the snacks. I eat beforehand. I don't really get the bubble guts when it comes to flying or anything like that, and I don't really get hungry once I'm in a flight. Every time I eat a meal, it's usually something that anchors me down. So I've yet to have a flight on there, and I know you're doing it for the jokey joke, but I'm giving you an actual answer, so suck on that. Let's see here. Do you have a link, Candy, to the podcast? Yes, awkwardlysocialcomedy.com. If you're listening to this, you probably found it. So congratulations. This one is going to be an interesting one. I want to make this one into an entire episode. The person that asked it is actually a person who went to jail doing something like a part of a gang life, and he had to turn around and sort his life out. In fact, he relocated, like a witness relocation status, for the sake of starting his life over. And he says, life after prison and why we need to prevent our future youth from glorifying the gang life. This one's hard because I grew up in Pacoima. I grew up listening to hip hop and rap music, and it was glorified. I agree to that. I mean, I have cousins whose lives were like, they were altered in a negative way because they thought to themselves, I need to be fucking Mr. Machismo. I need to be Mr. Badass and do these crazy things, and I have to stand up for myself. One of my cousins whose parents spent a lot of money getting him braces, you know, his teeth got knocked all crooked from getting his face punched in just because he was too proud to not tell the guy, hey, I'm not hitting on your girl, she's just a friend of mine. But he just took it as an opportunity to try to act like a badass. I mean, it's unnecessary to do that. Cut that shit out. I'll expand more on that later on because it's not something I could probably cover in such a short period of time. Plus, I've never been to jail, and I am not a gangster. Even though I grew up within it, it was within proximity. I was adjacent to it. My neighbors were. My friends were. I've lost people in my life because of it. But at the same time, it's affected me so minimally, even though I'm from that environment, because, you know, that just wasn't for me. And but I would say this much, it's not for you. It's not an exit. It's not a solution. Some people talk about, oh, I need to get up out of here. I need to get out of the hood. I need to get to another place or whatever. And it's like, what are you trying to get out of? It's not that difficult to do it. You literally don't have to relocate. I understand if you need to relocate because your life is in danger and you might run into somebody. But truth be told, it's not that hard to walk away from any kind of life at any point ever. A friend of mine who grew up in a much smaller town, not too far from here, was like, I don't know what to do because everybody knows everybody, which is bullshit because as small as a town is, that's not really the case. If your friends are weird, shady, or whatever the hell, just move on to other people. You don't have to socialize with people. There's nothing that tells you, you literally never have to talk to somebody ever again if you did not want to. Even if they are obnoxious and they follow you or they contact you social media, whatever the crap, there's easy ways to prevent this kind of stuff and just cut them out of your life. You know, it's some people were fucking stalker bananas. It's a little bit harder, but it is still plausible to do that, especially for your close friends. If you guys have a falling out, you don't have to dictate your life around those people. And people always talk about getting out of there, getting out of where, why. It's like, you're just going to move to another hood. You're just going to move to, like, okay, I'm getting out of Pacoima, but I'm going to move over to Arleta or, I don't know, another state where you're going to run into a lot of the same kind of bullshit. So what I would say right now is hold off on getting out of the ghetto because you really, rent's so expensive right now. It just, you know, maybe find a room to rent elsewhere that's a little reasonably priced, but just to have less association with those kinds of people. It's not about where you're living. It's about who you're living with or what you're, you know, who you're socializing with. I've been considering moving to another part of town, still in the valley, and it actually looked at an apartment that I lived at 8 years ago, and the rent's gone up from like $1,200 to $1,900 in that period of time. So in 8 years, it went up about $700, which is a lot. I'm fortunate in the amount that I'm paying right now because I've been here for so long, which is, by the way, the longest I've ever lived anywhere is 7 years, which is where I'm at currently. So it's weird to me, but I would move and get away from some of this, you know, potential mold, which have to keep recleaning or clearing out, just so I can get, you know, to do that. But then everywhere else is super expensive. So when shit gets better, then move. For now, just fucking stop talking to your hoodlum friends. It's not necessary to be hoodlum. It's not a requirement. Che Guevacho, I think he means Che Guevara. I don't know what he means by that. And white cholos. David, I don't know what white cholos are. You're talking about like white dudes that act tough and thug? I mean, if they grew up in the ghettos, if they grew up in that environment, it's. I'll say this much. Yes, obviously some of the cliches are that it belongs, that it's a Hispanic thing, it's a cultural appropriation, but it's not really a cultural appropriation. It's a hood appropriation. If you grew up in the ghetto, you're just as entitled to be ghetto if you want it to be. You know, obviously some people do it for the wrong reasons and they're just trying to be trendy or get in. What's that Jamie Kennedy movie? Malibu's Most Wanted. Yes, there are some people like that and that's fucking embarrassing. But whatever, it's not really affecting me. It's like the most you're doing is you're fucking up your own future or your own present doing something like that. And then if you clean up your act, you're just going to be so embarrassed in a few years about the way that it used to be. I have had a roommate who was like super emo, 30-something-year-old dude who would like push his hair off to his side and act. He was part of a screamo band. I know for sure that motherfucker looks back at his photos and he's like, oh my God, I thought I was a hot shit when I was on MySpace. It happens, you guys. It fucking happens. Let's see here. Okay. Oh, this is a fun one. Why did you get married? I got married because I was bored. No, that's not true. I got married because I fell in love. That's how it happens. And then you fall out of love and life falls apart. And then suddenly you're like, why did I do this thing? Oh, man, I was just in the wrong place at the wrong time. No. I love love for whatever it's worth. People don't understand it. It's not, marriage isn't for everybody. It doesn't always work and sometimes it ends and you have to accept that that's the case. Obviously you want to fight for it, but sometimes it doesn't. It doesn't work out. You know what? My marriage or my wedding was like super, like, just let's go do this thing. Very, it felt very impromptu, even though it was some planning, but I don't know. It's not for everybody, but when you have it and you're fortunate enough to have it in your life, be thankful for it. This kind of also coincidentally falls in, and the similar kind of conversation that I, another one through social media, a gentleman who is recently heartbroken from a relationship that fell apart, a marriage that fell apart, and was like, what's the benefit? What do you benefit? What do men benefit in when getting married? And those people are like, nothing. Fucking, what's the point? Yada, yada. And there was a lot of things. And it usually comes from people who are fucking scorned. Not everybody needs to believe in marriage. I don't give a shit if you do or don't believe in it. It's not a Santa kind of situation where you're like, I don't believe in marriage. It's like it's either for you or it's not. And it's totally fucking cool if it's not for you. Don't shit on somebody else because it's for them. Just as much as I won't shit on you if it's not for you. If you're the kind of person that has to look at something to see what's the benefit of it, then you're not understanding the point of marriage. It's be thankful for it. If you have it, great. If you lose it because it didn't work out, that sucks. That it hurts, I'm sure. But don't punish other people or the future or yourself for something that didn't work out. You know, either figure out what went wrong and hopefully it doesn't happen again, or just, you know, say, okay, I obviously got married for the wrong reasons, or just we were unfortunately falling out of love, whatever the answer is, just move on from it and hopefully you get some good lessons or experiences out of it. And otherwise, I don't know, good luck with finding somebody else. And if you do, maybe you'll change your tune. So good luck to you, man. Sorry that your marriage fell apart, but don't hate everybody else just because of that. Let's see here. Let's go to one of the Snapchat ones. Hold on a second. When's my show? Okay. I already mentioned this on here. April 11th, Ice House Comedy Club in Pasadena. Let's see here. What's the other one? Okay, this is funny because I had a friend of mine send me a story about something very similar to this. What do you do when you catch somebody masturbating in public? Or watching porn in public, sorry. Obviously the same thing. I don't know. Point it out. Be like, dude, what the fuck are you doing? If it's around kids or families, definitely call them out on it. Some people like to embarrass them by putting them on blast, by filming them and putting it on social media. That sucks, you know. I mean, but whatever. If it teaches them the lesson, I suppose it teaches them a lesson. I would be concerned about that person, because if you are either so disconnected, you're either really shitty at being self-aware and not realizing somebody else is seeing you, or you're just fucking crazy and you just cannot wait because you're either coming to or from somewhere that where you were suddenly so aroused. I don't know. It's fucking just... I'll kick them. Kick them in the dick and just, you know, to get them. Unless you have like a cup of really cold water, do it like the way you would on a dog. Just pour water on them and shit. Maybe that will calm them down or at least get them off of your bus or your train or the sidewalk. I mean, I've seen fucking public masturbation. My mom shares a story about how she and my sister were driving by this one porn shop and this guy walked out of there, like with his dick out, just fucking masturbating, you know, as he was walking, like just leaving this place, just super aroused. And it's, you know, some motherfuckers cannot help themselves, but kick them in the dick, unless that's their thing. And if you're worried about touching it, I'll say this much. Do you step on way grosser things where your dog took shit at some point? I don't know. Just give them a kick or splash some water on them or some Coke or scream and scare the shit out of them or call the cops. If it's really fucking gross, maybe get the police involved and have them be arrested, because they're probably like, God damn it, Scott, stop doing that. We're tired of arresting you for this thing that you do. Gross. I don't know why I used that name. Shout out to my buddy Scott, who was not at all involved in this, but I just use that name as an example. Yeah, that's enough of that. I'll answer more questions later. I don't want this episode to be too long. It's already 24 minutes. I did a couple of things I did want to talk about, which was... I already did that one. Let's see here. Oh, yeah, this is crazy. So we did a group trip to Disneyland over the weekend as well. And I mentioned on here that I can't have kids, but I can't go through the traditional route. So not like anybody wants to have kids with me anyway. No, but if I wanted to have a kid, conceiving it the traditional way would be very difficult for me. As of right now, pretty much impossible. But the conversation went along the lines of something like that. Because, you know, some people really want to have kids that don't get a chance, and that's sad and all. But don't be fucking weird about it. There's this woman at Chuck E. Cheese who is older, maybe she, you know, her kids already grew up and she just wanted to have the experience of being around other children, or maybe she's just a fucking loony. Maybe she was unfortunate enough to never be able to have a kid herself. Whatever the reason is, don't go around picking up other people's kids. I mean, like, it was my nephew's birthday and we were all there celebrating, and this woman's going around picking up other people's kids and playing with them, and she wasn't there with anyone. Eventually she got kicked out, but it wasn't until like after she like came by and even picked up my nephew and tried to talk to him, and my sister was like, okay, you fucking weirdo, get out of here. I don't know. If she was an elderly woman, maybe it wasn't, maybe it was more harmless than that, but it was still creepy. But here's a crazy one. Don't kidnap children. These two people, when I was walking to a show, freaked out, thought I was going to kidnap their kid. Don't worry about that. That's just the sound of my cat jumping out of a box and then the box falling over and her running away from the box. Anyhow. That's that. This couple kidnapped a child at Disneyland. Now, what happened was this: the mother, who was being, you know, very careful, turned around for a moment to put something away in the stroller. She turned around, the kid was gone almost immediately, or rather immediately. She freaked out. She went to talk to somebody about it. They pulled up the security cameras. A couple went by and immediately picked up this child the moment the mother turned around, took her to the restroom, changed her clothes, gave her a haircut, and then went on a few rides with her before finally leaving with her. The reason for that was that they were, I think that their mentality was, make her feel comfortable so that when she leaves with us, she'll be a little more relaxed and she won't freak out and scream in front of all these strangers. The security guards saw this. They were watching the footage of it. They were watching it go down live, and they were waiting until they were heading back to the parking lot before intercepting, because they wanted to make sure that they got past the point of no return, is essentially what it's referred to when you're shoplifting or stealing or kidnapping a child. Like, once you're past the point where you could possibly turn around and return the child, that's when they can get you. Because at that point, before that, there could be denial and be like, no, we're going to return this kid. We just wanted to spend time with her, whatever the shit reason is. So they did get them. The couple was arrested and the child was returned to the parent, which is just so fucking scary. I mean, losing your child is, I mean, yeah, Mike, I changed my mind about letting people fail. If I can follow them, track them, put a tracking device on them, get them a bracelet that has a little chip, get it the chip under their skin if you have to, and just constantly be ever so watchful. No, but that's just scary. Don't kidnap children. If there's one thing you can learn from the Awkwardly Social podcast, is maybe don't kidnap children. Maybe that's just a solid suggestion. I think that you can benefit from it by not being a fucking weirdo creep and kidnapping a child. If you can't make one, adopt one, or get a puppy, a pet, get an animal. I signed up to volunteer at a local where you can adopt a pet. I'm going to be really great there, by the way. No, but I signed up to volunteer because I want a dog, but I can't have a dog because I have two cats, and until I move, I can't get a dog. So I figured if I work at one of these shelters, I can help out. I can help clean up after them and then get the opportunity every now and then to play with them, pet them, or give them a walk, whatever. Either way, it was something that I decided that I was going to try to do. It wouldn't hurt to do that. Plus, I have a lot of downtime, so you know what? Why not help out? So get yourself a pet. Maybe just get me a therapy dog, or maybe just a regular dog and allow that to be therapeutic enough. And that's about it. One last bit of a thing before I go. I want to mention this only because I've been very open about talking about medication, depression, all of that stuff. Don't have an ego about getting better, about getting help. I've seen some things. It's always a lesson that I try to tell people, is try not to give yourself a label. I know that I go with the awkward social umbrella, the social anxiety thing, but that is a very strong part of who I am. That being said, I try often, even with my comedy, to branch out, to go elsewhere with it. And, you know, I do take steps, including taking medication, to try to remove myself from that. You don't need to limit yourself to a label, your ethnicity, your preference, your sign. You know, like, oh, I'm a Pisces, so I'm like this and that. No, you could just be this or that because that's who you are. It has nothing to do with the fact that you are a Pisces. It has nothing to do with the fact that you are born in the month of February going into March. You know, it's pure coincidence that's how you are. Not coincidence. That's just who you are. Don't base it off of where you were born, when you were born, and all of that. Just, you know, I can own up to who you are as you are. But also, don't try to be a broken person. One of the things that somebody said to me once was, I won't be as good of a comedian if I don't have my depression, because a lot of that is what inspires my humor. We've lost comics who lost the battle against depression. Don't do it because you think it'll make you a stronger comic. If you think you need to be broken to be whole or to feel whole, you're definitely doing that shit wrong. So don't do that. If you're scared of drugs or medication, I understand, but you have to take a chance with it. There's always a possibility that you haven't found the true whole self yet. You just thought that this was you, and maybe you'll end up discovering that person once you finally get into this thing. And it won't be easy, and it'll be a long start, and you might get it wrong the first time around. But be vocal and be open about it, and you trust me, it's you don't have to, again, be broken to fucking be whole. That doesn't make sense. It, you know, fucking get your head straight. And if you think your head's straight and you're doing everything right, the moment you start feeling depressed and down and stuff like that, that's a good indicator that maybe you need to work on something else or another aspect of yourself. That's it for now, you guys. I was trying to be all positive and friendly and shit and answer these weird-ass questions from you guys, but I wanted to put that last one out there because, again, Mike, it's really hard to watch people around you fall or fail or whatever, and you often want to reach out or at least put the message out there, because if you put it out there, hopefully maybe not the person that you wanted to receive the message will receive the message, but maybe someone else will. And if that someone else does, beautiful, because that's what really matters. Maybe some people don't get the message from where they should get it, and if we are fortunate enough in this life, the message is found elsewhere. Y'all take care. Have yourselves an amazing week. More episodes coming up soon. As always, follow me on stuff at I Am Jose Chavez, at I Am Jose Chavez on Snapchat, Instagram, Twitter, Venmo, if you want to send me $5, be like, hey, good job, buddy. But email me if you want to get some tickets. I know I said that the tickets are $15 online, icehousecomedy.com, also awkwardlysocialcomedy.com. But if you email me and you want to get on that guest list, you save yourself $15. You can put that money towards a 2-item minimum, which is required. It's a 21 and over venue, so sorry to them youngins who want to come out, but it is an evening for the adults. So use this as an excuse to not bring your kids out with you. Just be like, sorry, kids, I would let you in, but they won't let you in. You know what comedy clubs, I was going to suggest, comedy clubs need a little, like a little playpen next to it for the children that get abandoned, but that also seems so bad, putting that many kids near drunk-ass parents listening to gross-ass comics. Anyhow, you guys take care, stay dope. Email me, josechavezcomedian@gmail.com for them tickets. Have a great week, and I don't know, touch your butts. Stupid.